Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, a plum, and I forgot I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Michael Echaveste. Michael has started the most recent chapter of the slow food movement on campus here at Humboldt State University. Michael, tell me a little bit about the slow food movement and how you got involved with it and what it means to you.
Slow food movement is all about connecting people with their food, how that can help our economy and ourselves and the people that we're connected to. And it's about taking time, really enjoying the food that we eat and that we deal with in our everyday lives. I got involved with it because through some of my political science classes, I became aware of the movement when learning about different aspects of nonprofits, and it was something that really interested me. I started reading the literature, and I decided that, well, Humboldt County sort of already knows most of the principles about eating locally and organic GMO-free food, staying out of fast food chains, that there could still be a lot of benefit of having a slow food chapter here, and it could bring a lot of good to our county.
The slow food movement seems like it is in a large response to the fast food world in which we live in. I'd like to read just a short quote from the Fast Food Nation. America spent in 1970 $6 million on fast food. By 2001, it had grown to $110 billion. This is more money than they spent on computers and new cars. More money is spent on fast food than movies, books, magazines, newspapers, videos, and records combined. The implication all this carries for health are now well known, and more than half of American adults and a quarter of American children are obese, while 30,000 Americans die each year because they are obese. Fast food has transformed the nation's diet, but also our landscape, our economy, our workforce, and our popular culture. Fast food has been kind of the lifestyle from the generation that probably came after mine, probably your generation. A lot of young people were raised with fast food. How were you able to see that this was not going to be your future?
Well, definitely coming from my generation where we were having our birthday parties at McDonald's when we were young, it's a big change to now be part of a movement that got started directly in retaliation to a McDonald's opening in Italy. It's interesting to see the change and shift, but I think lots of people are having it. And while you have the statistic of how people are spending more on fast food now than they are on lots of other things, sadly, there are statistics out there that state that the same 40, 50 years ago, Americans were spending close to 40, 50% of their income towards food, and now it's reduced down to about 18%, which really shows the disconnect people are having with their food now and that we're not giving this importance to it. So while we are spending more on fast food, we're spending a lot less on food in general, and especially quality food.
It seems like, you know, it used to be something that you would do as a special thing to go to a fast food restaurant, but now it seems like more and more people are almost forgetting how to cook and forgetting what are the regional dishes. Do you cook a lot at home?
I do. I'm actually currently enrolled in the culinary program at College of the Redwoods. Cooking has been one of my passions since I've been little. I absolutely, from a culinarian's perspective, it destroys me to see that people are going towards these as an avenue for nutrition when it's really so nutrition deprived in so many aspects. And not only that, but taste and really enjoyable aspects of life that people are depriving themselves of by not spending the time cooking, which is an amazing activity of community building and connecting with your food, with family, with friends, with loved ones. And also eating with people is one of the oldest traditions of time, and it connects people in a way that no other tradition can. And people are foregoing all these opportunities. We have three a day, and people aren't taking these opportunities to enjoy themselves.
You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting to me about the slow food movement is I'm afraid that people throughout the world see this as kind of standardization of Anglo-American traditions. But I consider myself an Anglo-American, and my food tradition was about cooking all sorts of different things that might have been regionally produced. But there's this idea put forward that this is the American way, that fast food is the American way. But I see you as a young person who's out there cooking. So you're giving me hope.
Yeah. I think definitely if you had to characterize America and other countries, there would definitely be a couple key characteristics. And one would be the golden arches of this is the way people see America. And it is a sad reality, but I definitely think that America has really strong, amazing, beautiful food traditions that have gone neglected because of this. And I think people will soon start to realize, see these food traditions and taste them and realize how amazing they are. Once this happens, no one will prefer fast food over to a good home-cooked, whether it be Southern or, you know, Cajun meal or traditional California cuisine. I think we're starting to see that a little bit, at least in our expansion of our food traditions, where it's not universal yet, but definitely people are starting to recognize it.
Now, the slow food movement is about supporting food that is good, clean, and fair. And I think one of the things that you touched on already was there are so many people in the world, it's part of their livelihood is to provide food, to grow food, raise food, manufacture food. So let's talk about the fair part of it. What sorts of things are the slow food movement working on to make sure that people are treated fairly in the food world?
That's a big issue right now. When you go to a lot of the local chain grocery stores, there's lots of produce there that has been produced in a way that is not paying the workers who are putting in long, hard hours, not getting any benefits from it. It's not giving them the adequate pay that they deserve. And it's keeping them in poverty. It's keeping their communities impoverished. It's doing lots of bad things to the environment. In many different ways, it's harmful to their economy. Also, it's harmful to our economy. I think definitely when I talk about fair food, it's talking about paying people what they deserve and doing it in a way which isn't damaging to the economy of either the producer or the buyer in any way. And I think one example that we can see this in is our local farmers market. When we go out there, we pay what they ask for. There's not haggling for the most part. And it's a fair price for them so that they can live modestly. It's a fair price for us. I'm a college student working full-time to pay rent and tuition, and so I can live modestly also, but have nutritional food to eat too. And it's a win-win situation in the end.
I sometimes wonder where the idea came from that we should not pay so much for farmed goods. I mean, I think some of it came from trying to move people from farmland into the cities. And then some sort of a mindset where people who farmed things wouldn't get paid the same amount that a person who worked in a city at a white-collar job. And I just don't understand really where that came from.
There definitely is a mindset that a farmer's salary shouldn't compare with someone who's working in a cubicle salary. And that is sort of sad because it's the farmers that we live off of, that we're based off of. Without them, we wouldn't be here. None of this would be happening. And then there is the factor of how the Green Revolution changed prices and farming methods of produce so that it could be produced so much cheaper than previously. Now people have gotten used to the fact of for paying little to nothing for their agro-industry fruit, which is not organic and genetically modified and not good for the environment. People are now starting to come back and say, wait, why do we have to pay so much for organic? Well, it's not that you're paying so much for organic, it's just that you're not getting this discounted price while destroying the environment, not paying someone fairly, and putting genetically modified and pesticides and chemicals in your body. It's going back to just, this is what it was.
Right, you weren't paying the real cost.
You weren't.
Never paying the real cost for things. How can people locally be part of this movement? Can they get in touch with you? Can they join up with this slow food chapter here locally? And how many people are part of the slow food chapter?
Right now, the slow food chapter is still in the final stages of application, so we're not an official chapter as of right now. Hopefully in the next week or so we will be. There were about 60 people that showed up to the first meeting, which was a really great turnout. If someone wanted to contact me, they could at slowfoodhsu@gmail.com. We're also in the works of getting our website up. It is slowfoodhumble.org. And those are two avenues that people could contact if they were interested in getting involved.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been speaking with Michael Echaveste.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and I forgot I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.